Metaprograms. So metaprograms, what metaprograms are?
Is they're a model of the world to help you determine how you perceive and interpret information in yourself and in your others. And they're highly effective. You can use them in the hiring process. We were talking with Damon today, and he said whenever he's hiring a new person, he always takes them through the metaprogram profile. It's actually called the language and behavioral profile. You'll learn that later today, but anybody that's in HR or has to hire people, this is highly useful. You can use it as a way to communicate and interact with your coworkers better or with children better.
Or your family members.
You can also use it as a way to help motivate other people to get them motivated to achieve certain tasks.
And with the, what you'll find once you've learned it well is that you will be able to make very accurate predictions about what, how people will perform, what they'll enjoy doing, where they'll work out really well and where they won't, just by listening to what they say. And you'll figure out how they're making sense of the world, what their model of the world is.
And it will also help you understand people better. How many of you work with somebody or have a family member that just drives you absolutely bonkers?
It's like, but they're not a bad person.
They're not a bad person. They just annoy you, and you don't know why. And we see a lot of this in the workplace. And what you'll find is once we go through these metaprograms today, you'll understand specifically what it is in their thinking and what it is in your thinking that is creating these mismatches in experience. And you'll be able to adjust your language patterns in a way to have deeper rapport and also to understand where they're coming from.
So you're going to find that this is an invaluable piece of information.
And
now, like yesterday I mentioned, a lot of you are familiar with the DISC or Myers-Briggs, and the Myers-Briggs is like a personality test. So you might be an ENFP, or you might be an INSTJ. It's based on Carl Jung's ideas of what did they call those things? I don't know why I'm not thinking of it, but we know Carl Jung pretty well.
It will come in a minute.
Anyway, wait. Anyway, it's based on his model of thinking. And it's really useful as a developing a personality type. And the DISC model is also based on that, plus some subsequent work. Those of you that might have seen that, it's more business-like model. How many of you have done the DISC?
DISC.
So it has dominant influencer, security oriented, and steadiness. And the last one is.
I don't know. Well, we're the meta.
Competency. But it's based on, there's really 16 different types of people if you chunk it down enough, which is pretty vague in a lot of ways. With the metaprograms, there are virtually millions of possibilities because they're not based on how you operate in the world. There's not a personality test. It's about how you're going to operate in a specific context. And you might be very different in one situation versus another situation. And so these are not intended to put anybody in a box because they don't. It's just what are your preferences. And some of these preferences are going to be conscious some of the time. Sometimes they're going to be unconscious. And by the way, somebody asked me on break, what's the definition of conscious, unconscious from an NLP perspective? And the best definition to me, this room were totally dark in here, and the curtains were pulled, and there was no light hardly at all, and we were all in here, we were being quiet, and you had a flashlight. It's like our unconscious minds are all of us in this room, the whole room. The flashlight would be our conscious mind. So if I shine it on sky, we're conscious of sky at that moment, not conscious of anything else. We're not aware of it. But everyone and everything else is still there. Then something happens and we switch our consciousness. We might not any longer be conscious of sky, but we're conscious of Nancy or something.
And from an NLP perspective, when you think about where we're putting the flashlight, there's three concepts in NLP that were developed early on that came out of Noam Chomsky's work, The Linguist, which is that of deletions, distortions, and generalizations.
Do you remember this from the second weekend?
Yeah, and that's how you create reality. And I think it was Bruce Lipton that said that we take in about 2 billion bits of information per second, but we can only process about 2,000 bits. So ultimately, we have this narrow scope of reality that we're living in. And what happened in the early days of NLP is Leslie Cameron Bandler, who was married to Richard Bandler during the early days of NLP, took Noam Chomsky's idea of deletion, distortion, and generalization, started playing with that, categorized it, and originally came up with these 60 categories of what are called metaprograms for how you really determine reality for each individual.
So when I was first in NLP, we had to kind of learn 60 of these things, which is kind of overwhelming.
And you won't have to.
But the good news is there are some that are really important and some that are kind of obscure. You'll get the really important ones. And they've been codified later by a guy
named Roger Bailey. And he was around during the early days of NLP as well. So he codified these 60 metaprograms and narrowed it down to about 16. And since then, a colleague of ours, Shelley Rose Charvet, who wrote a book called Words That Change Minds, narrowed it down to about 12 to 14, and it's on metaprograms. Highly recommend the book, Words That Change Minds.
There's also coaching in the workplace. There's a big section on that, too, and it's very practical.
It's so, so useful, and I know once you learn this, it's going to help you understand your coworkers and children and people that you interact with, and you'll find that you'll be able to adjust your language patterns to be able to motivate these people and also predict behaviors as well in them.
So by the end of today or the end of the first hour tomorrow, you'll all have the basis for being able to conduct like an 8 to 10 minute interview that will allow you to make really sharp, fine distinctions with somebody, understand them better, package information so that they can hear it and understand it and appreciate it. And so it's a really respectful way of understanding and talking to people.
And you'll find that you'll have a new way of thinking for how to motivate yourself at work or how to help motivate people that you work with or your children. So it's a highly useful model, and we'd like to share with you what these different metaprograms are now, the different categories of them.
And it starts with criteria. Now, criteria, what criteria are, and Damon touched on this a little bit last time about strategies and decision strategies. Criteria are what you think are important in a context. So it's a belief about what's important in a context. These change by context. So metaprograms, again, are contextual. So you have different criteria, for example, for what you might eat than what you might drive, right? How many of you go, if you pick your criterion to buy a car for eating, what would happen? I want one that's tasty, fresh, smells good. So criteria is going to be different for every context. It's what's important to us in a context. It's different than values. Values are what's important to us in every context. So if I say, how many of you is freedom important to pretty much anywhere? Or kindness or integrity? Notice those are all going to go across the board. These are going to be much more specific in certain contexts, even though some of them may have the same name. Criteria are hot buttons. They have a deep sense of meaning to you. And so we're going to have you do a little experiment with this. So we're going to start with, and we're going to use the context of work for learning metaprograms. And so we'll start out with, and the important questions here are, to start with, to get criteria, what's important to you in what's important to you in a job? So what's important to you in a job?
Well, it needs to be fun, and I need to enjoy myself.
Okay. So it needs to be fun, enjoy yourself. What else?
Well, I need, I just know that I do better when somebody's giving me like a clear roadmap. I've had jobs where I go in and they want me to figure everything out, and that's not me. I do better if I'm, you know, just kind of told what to do, and I'm real happy to do that.
Okay. So fun. You want to enjoy yourself, have a clear roadmap, and what else is important?
I love working with people, so I really love those situations where I'm with a team of people.
With a team?
Yeah.
So are you working all in it together
kind of
thing?
Yeah,
so that's what you mean by team?
Yeah.
Okay, so what you want is a job where that's fun, where you can enjoy yourself, there's a clear roadmap, and you get to work as part of a team.
Yeah, and it's real high energy.
High energy.
Yeah.
High energy team.
Kind of like when you're just amped up, you know, and that's the way it is in Silicon Valley.
Okay,
you know?
Cool. Got it.
Yeah.
So we have some criteria now, right? Yes.
Is it a good time to ask? Or maybe later?
No. hold the thought.
Hold the thought. Thanks, Shabash.
Because otherwise it'll break up a demonstration. Okay, so I've gathered her criteria, right? And then, so I'm going to ask, we're going to ask you to just pair up with somebody next to you. Then Chris will gather my criteria.
Okay. So, Tim.
Do it on separate pages, though.
So what's important to you in a job?
Well, what's important to me in a job is to be interacting with interesting people.
Okay.
To be creative.
Okay.
To have challenges that, when they're met, will make a difference in the world.
Okay. And what else is important?
Travel and variety.
Oh, so travel and a variety.
In my tasks.
And anything else you can think of?
Yeah, good pay.
Good pay. Okay, great.
Okay, so we're just going to ask you to do that and then stop. So just pair up with somebody, find a partner, say, what do you want in a job? Write down the criteria words, get at least 4. But don't get 40, just get 4 or 5. So did you get your criteria from your partner?
Yes.
Now, let's say that criteria are what is going to motivate you. It's what, you know, it's like these words have a rich meaning. Your specific words are important too. So if I wanted to and get Chris to take on some project at work, and I was her supervisor, what do you think I'd naturally do if I didn't know about NLP? What criteria would I tend to use to get her turned on with?
Your own,
absolutely. So I'd say, Chris, I have a task that's a really important job, and I think you're the one for it. You get to work with really interesting people. You can be creative. You'll work with challenges that can result in making a difference in the world, and you actually get to travel quite a bit. So you get to go to different locales and get to meet those interesting people. There's a lot of variety in the work. It has good pay.
Well, the pay is good, but I'm kind of worried about my newborn, 6-month-old.
They'll love it.
But the travel.
You'll expose this child to the world.
I quit.
And then she would want to try to, you know, so she could offer me a task next.
Okay. So, Tim, I got a great project for you to work on. It's the type of thing that I'm going to tell you exactly what to do and give you a clear roadmap and all the step-by-step instructions on how to do it specifically. So you'll know what to do. And it's going to be fun, and I know you'll enjoy it, and you'll get to work with a team of people, and it will be super high energy.
Huh. So, turn to your partner, and just do what we did, no more than 1 minute each, and then come back. Now, in a group like this, sometimes you'll find that you have similar criteria to somebody, or maybe the same words sometimes. But how many of you found that you weren't quite...
There might have been one or two that were big mismatches.
Okay. So, that's one thing. Now, the specific words can also be important. Remember, Chris's were fun, enjoy myself, a clear roadmap, work with the team, and have in a high-energy environment. So, what if I use synonyms? How many of you learned to do something like paraphrasing? Paraphrasing is usually not the best idea. It's better to use people's precise wording. If I say, Chris, I'd like to suggest that you take over this particular project. I think you'd find that it's It's really a kind of a groovy thing to do. And the nice thing about it is that there's a very strict step-by-step procedural manual that you can follow. And you get to do that, so you know exactly what to do and when, where to do it. It's a cooperative effort with a group of like-minded people. That's a team. They would have a common goal.
You know, this is just a role play, and I can feel my stomach like tightening up into a knot.
And, you know, it's like the thing that you love about it is it's like everybody's always jumping up and down and making things happen. What do you think?
Can you give me a different assignment?
Yeah, well, I do have one that could be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Where you could enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
Where there's a clear roadmap for what to do.
Oh, okay.
And you get to work with a team, and only that's really high energy.
Oh, cool. That sounds like fun.
Okay. So turn to your partner and each do that with each other. Notice your own words make a lot more impact on you than a synonym, right? Yes? So you want to use the specific words. When I first started doing seminars, even before I'd learned NLP, I went to a, it was actually the, I learned the DISC. Do you all know, you know, I was just talking about it. I became certified in that. And there was a guy doing part of the training. His name was Bill Bass, like the fish. Bill Bass was a really high-powered public speaker, and he did a lot of keynote speaking for these big conferences and stuff. And he said, somebody said, well, how do you get all this great work? And he said, what I do is I call up the conference organizer and I'll say, tell me about two or three programs you really enjoyed last year. He said, what were they like? And they go, ah, well, they were, you know, interactive and, the you know, they give people practical tools and they'd list different things. And he'd say, oh, cool, because mine's interactive, it has practical tools, and he's just feedback whatever they said, as long as he thought it was true. And he went, really? And, they'd hire him, you know, so because those were the criteria words of the person that was speaking.
It's funny. We were looking into hiring a branding team for reasons I won't get into. But anyway, so we had to fill out this big form, and we had a two-hour interview with them a couple days ago. And we were on the phone, and they were doing that with us. They were looking at the form and, you know, literally reading back our important criteria words. And I was impressed by that. That made me, even though I knew what they were doing and was conscious of it, it made me want to work with them to think that they're looking at how we can connect. So when you do these things, it's not about being manipulative. I mean, you could use it like that, I guess, but really it's a great way to build a rapport with people.
It's about being respectful.
Yes, respectful.
I feel like I had a real aha moment with this because I just had an interview and the guy interviewed the manager was at one of these internet companies and he wrote the description of what he wants in all of his language, like competitive positioning, all those words, right, that are industry specific. And I'm at a place where I don't really want to fit into that box, but what I know how to do and what I want to do, it does fit into that, but it's like I was expressing it very differently. And I think at the end of it, he's like, well, you're really interesting because you have this, but I'm not sure you really, you know, it's like you almost talked yourself out of it because you're not resonating with that. But that's also what I want, right? I don't necessarily want to be in that kind of box anymore.
Well, and that's another thing.
Your meta programs don't fit that situation. If you got there, you might be unhappy.
Exactly. Yeah. So, that's all right.
So that probably worked out really well. Sebastian's question, if you don't mind, is he was saying, what if somebody's telling you, making up the criteria because they're trying to say what you want to hear? And that, you know, some of that can happen. So if you put out a job interview, for example, you know, a job announcement, and you say, here's the qualities I want, and somebody comes in and they say, well, they name those qualities. It could be that they're just trying to get the job and they don't really mean it. But often that's where you have to use all your other skills. Are they being congruent? Do they seem enthusiastic? Does it seem real?
About 20 years ago.
I was going to say, the other part of it is, you're going to find as you go through the meta programs that you're going to be asking some other questions that is going to pull that information out in a really clear way. So,
I was interviewing someone where I started to get the sense that that's what they were doing. So later on, I started to mismatch their other criteria and to see if they would say, no, that's not what I want. And they went along with it. And that's when I realized, no, they're not telling me the truth. They're just trying to tell me
that's
what they're
That's a good
doing.
Strategy. Good idea, Damon.
Nancy.
When when I was talking to him, he gave me the words for his criteria, and then when I was giving it back to him in the second half, he said, okay, that doesn't really make so much sense when you say it, the way you strung it together. Well, I think the point is that you can use the criteria words, but if you don't mean it or understand it, then it doesn't sound right.
So what you're saying needs to be, so if I say, well, this is a great job, you can have a lot of fun. I know you'll enjoy yourself. I'm exaggerating, obviously, but if I do any of that, that's, if it's different, it's like, hey, you're going to have a lot of fun and enjoy yourself. And there's a really clear roadmap versus there's kind of a clear roadmap or map.
And even if you're enthusiastic, if you don't know their meaning for it, you're just saying words. So I think you can use the criteria words, but if it doesn't resonate with you, then it's not going to have that.
I'm not going to believe that the roadmap is the way she
that's
said.
That's where you need to build. Said, right? It's where you really want to build your flexibility, though, to honor that map, even if it's not your map. Does that make sense? Because when she says clear roadmap, the last thing I'd ever want in a job would be to have a clear roadmap. But if I can go, this has a really clear roadmap, and I know that's important to you, I can say that in a way that's really congruent with her, because it's about her, not about me. And if I think if I make that distinction, then I'm not going to, ugh, clear roadmap. Anyway.